You are listening to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. We will be coming to you each and every day with uncensored, in-depth analysis of everything you need to know to win your fantasy leagues this season. You can follow us on Twitter, at Fantasy Benefits, or join the Facebook discussion groups, www.facebook.com/groups/Friends of Fantasy Benefits. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes, and send us a copy or screenshot of it to friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com or on Twitter, at Fantasy Benefits, for a chance to get into one of our listener leagues or other prizes. Enjoy the show. We are Friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Mike, how hard are you right now?
Oh, man, I've been hard since you said, hi, welcome to Friends with Fantasy Benefits podcast.
You heard it here first, folks. Ray Kuhn thinks that Dominic Smith is going to be the new Aaron Judge.
That would be nice. That would certainly change things.
We are Friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Have some more Flores love, I'm not going to lie. I mean, it feels like this guy has been around forever. It's 3 years ago he was crying at shortstop, thought he was going to be traded.
We are Friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Welcome into your Friends with Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. I'm your host, Ben Brents. I'm joined by fellow Mets fan, Ray Kuhn. Ray, how are you doing?
Doing pretty good. It would be better if the Mets started to open up the wallets and get the hot stove going a little bit.
I think there's a better chance of you and I opening our wallets and paying for a baseball game than the Mets management actually going out and getting a top free agent.
Yeah, I think it's going to come to maybe like a GoFundMe for Mike Moustakas or something like that.
You know they would just pocket the money.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, they got to pay Bobby Bonilla every July, so... Yeah, what can they do?
It's the greatest day in baseball history, Bobby Bonilla Day. Because even Mets fans know about that, and that's what makes it kind of embarrassing.
I mean, who knew Bobby Bonilla was a financial genius? Some crazy things going on out there.
If I ever had a contract that I could do something like that, that's what I would do. I would have my current job try to pay me out for an additional X amount of years so that I could... keep getting paid by them. That's what I would look to do.
It's not a bad idea. Not a bad idea at all.
Ray, why don't you tell our listeners where you can be reached on Twitter?
All right, my Twitter is Ray_Kuhn_28 on Twitter.
And I can be reached at BBrennisFWFB. Ray, today we're going to be talking about the Mets, and if you couldn't have already been able to tell that, but we're going to be talking about the Mets in a team preview of this upcoming 2018 season. So, what would you say is the biggest importance for this team to actually do well this year? Is it health, or is it actually having some of the young guys mesh and play up to what their potential capabilities is, or is it a mix of both?
I think the first thing would be health, because you need Cespedes to start and stay healthy. Can Bordo, we're assuming he's going to miss the beginning of the season, maybe the first month, but they need Conforto to come back healthy, and then stay healthy the rest of the year. Because if those two guys are healthy in the middle of the lineup, Rosario and Seth are going to have to do too much, and everything else should fall into place to at least be an average lineup. I mean, facing the NL East pitchers, with the exception of Washington, will help the Mets and help their offense, but I think health for those two guys, and I mean, obviously the pitching goes without saying after what happened last year.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to say that you can expect that the Mets are going to have some healthy players, because they always seem to have some person on their lineup or some pitcher injured for X amount of time every year. Even back when they were in the World Series a couple of seasons ago, you still had some injuries during that season that we didn't expect the Mets to be that good, and they kind of turned on when Cespedes came, but, you know, that is kind of how the team is. There's always going to be injuries that set the team back, and this team just doesn't have enough depth or players in the minors to even overcome that. So the health is the biggest thing for me.
Yeah, there's definitely no reinforcements. No reinforcements on the way.
Let's talk about the outfield for the Mets, where their two best hitters are, and that's going to be Yoenis Cespedes and Michael Conforto. Obviously, Conforto's having a shoulder injury right now, and he doesn't look like he's going to be ready for the beginning of the season. But what can we expect from him this year?
I think we can expect good things from Conforto. I mean, what I noticed the most about Conforto last season was he had a 24% line drive rate. So, I mean, to me, that's Conforto's game. I mean, obviously, he did hit 27 homers before he went out. I think it was in August. So the home runs were there, but I don't necessarily look at Conforto as a guy that has to hit 30 or 35 homers in a full season. I want him to concentrate on those line drives. And with the he had a 27% home run to fly ball rate last season. So I don't think that's going to continue. And I think so. For me, the key Conforto aside from the health is keep at it with the line drives and maybe trade a little bit of the fly balls or stop selling out for all those home runs and just make better contact. But if he does that, I think we have a 300 hitter on our hands. If he's in the middle of the lineup, maybe 100 RBIs at some point. I definitely wouldn't be expecting that this season based on the fact that he's going to be out roughly a month and around him could be a lot better. And as far as Cespedes, I mean, Cespedes is a power hitter. He's the guy that right in there gives you 40 home runs again if he stays healthy. We can't beat this drum enough with Cespedes and Conforto that you can't look them expecting a full season out of them. You have to discount them at least one DL stint for Cespedes. And probably they're going to be careful with him day game after night game, things like that. I mean, again, the problem is that there's not really anybody behind Cespedes, especially until Conforto comes back to fill in. But they're going to have to be careful with him, and you're going to have to take that into account when you're drafting him. And the other thing is 292 batting average from Cespedes. I don't think we see that again. When he has 50% fly ball rate, it's kind of hard to hit for close to 300 average.
Do you think that Conforto and Cespedes are players that you're looking to acquire in a keeper-type league? Obviously, in a dynasty league, Conforto is a player that you want, and Cespedes could be too because he's not too old, but he's old enough. But is this a player that you're looking to – are these players that you're looking to try to acquire possibly on the cheap, or do you think that an owner is probably not going to give up on them due to the fact that they've already made it through most of the injury and they should be – back and healthy at least by the end of May?
Yeah, then Conforto's going to be hard to get. I mean, he's obviously keeper dynasty type of format. He's the one you want to go after. Cespedes, depending on what your situation is, if you're in a win now situation and the owner that has him isn't slated to compete this year or next year, I think you could maybe get him on the cheap, knowing that, yeah, he is 32, but he's an old, he has a history of injuries. So, I mean, I'm starting the draft fresh this year for a dynasty. I'm going to discount Cespedes a few rounds from where he would be in a redraft format, but he's still a 30, 35 home run hit. So you can't take that lightly.
Fair enough. Why don't we talk about the center fielder, Juan Lagares? Is there any fantasy relevance with Lagares this year or no?
Unfortunately, no, there's not. I mean, he certainly covers a lot of ground in the outfield. He helps out his pitchers, but the speed hasn't translated to stolen bases, and there's nothing really with his offensive game that gives me any kind of optimism.
All right. Is there any other hitters that were looking for any fantasy relevance this year? Is it Ahmad Rosario, or is there some Wilmer Flores love, or is it basically just kind of you're looking for Conforto and Cespedes and basically just focusing on the pitching on this team and nothing else?
I have some more Flores love, I'm not going to lie. I mean, it feels like this guy has been around forever. It's 3 years ago, he was crying at shortstop. He thought he was going to be traded. And then again, he's only 26 years old. He was a big amateur signing. He was a top prospect. Even last season, he had 362 plate appearances. He's never fully had an everyday role with this team. This year, I think it's going to happen right now. Figueres going to play at third base. Cabrera plays at second or the other way around. He's going to get some time at first, platooning with Smith. I think this might be the year we see Flores get to the 500 at-bats. I mean, last year he hit 18 homers and 362 plate appearances. So I wouldn't exactly say, okay, we're going to add 150 plate appearances, so all of a sudden he's a 30 home run hitter or a 25 home run hitter. But I think we can. I think 25 is a reasonable expectation for him. I think he might surprise people on the fact that he's eligible pretty much across the infield, other than shortstop, also helps.
Yeah, it's funny because he came up as a shortstop. You wouldn't have figured that he was going to play all three other positions last year and not play shortstop at all.
Exactly. I mean, the thing with Rosario that's going to hurt him is if he bats eighth for now, it's obviously he's going to get pitched around. He has power, but I think we still have to wait a year or two for that power to present itself. The one thing about Rosario that we can say is 20 stolen bases seems pretty possible for him.
Yeah, and that's something that this team needs. They need stolen bases because last year, I mean, they're just a team that doesn't run, and it's a little frustrating because of that, and they don't go out and try to acquire anyone who does. Last year, Jose Reyes had 24 stolen bases, and the number two guy was basically Ahmad Rosario, and he came up in August, and he had seven. So it's kind of embarrassing how they don't really have any people who run. I mean, they're not the Orioles over here, so I guess we can count our blessings in a small capacity, but there's not a lot of stolen bases here, which kind of is a bit of a disappointment.
But, I mean, the one thing that we have to note is at least there's a new manager, Mickey Callaway. So, I mean, maybe a little – I mean, again, I think a lot of it, at least with Collins, came down from Sandy Alderson in the front office. So maybe with the new manager, things might be a little bit different. But Rosario is really the only guy on the team that's still on base threat anyway, and he's going to be batting eighth. We'll see. I mean, maybe in time we might see him end up going up to leadoff spot because Lagares is really – in there for his glove and because they don't have any other options. So Rosario, maybe by all-star break, possibly is batting lead off. He has a nice stroke, but there's definitely going to be some growing pains.
Yeah. What about Dominic Smith, the other prospect that came up for us last year? Is he someone that you're looking forward to at all this year, or is he someone that you think the Mets didn't do a good job at being able to build up and probably should have traded him before they actually brought him up?
I mean, well, if you look at the minor leagues, if you look at AAA last year, granted Las Vegas is a hitter's environment, before he came up, the guy couldn't have done anything more. He was a first-round pick a few years ago. If you look at his stroke, he has a great stroke. The key for Smith is getting that weight down and keeping it off. That's number one. And try not to do too much. We saw he had 9 home runs. We saw that he has the power. He has the power. He has a solid line drive stroke. But he does need to work on it. He had a 50% ground ball rate last year. He needs to work on getting the ball off the ground, hitting solid line drives, going the opposite way. I think he can do it. I'm not saying it could potentially be a bad analogy. But if you look at Aaron Judge 2 years ago, he came up. He was terrible. He was drafted late in most redrafts last year, kind of as a flyer, and we all know what happened to Judge. No way am I saying that Smith can be Judge, but it's the same type of idea where he was a hot prospect a year ago. Now all of a sudden, he comes up, doesn't break the Mendoza line, everyone forgets about him. There's a lot of work to be done. He's going to get at-bats because they're most likely not signing anybody else or making any trades. So he's going to get the at-bats. It wouldn't surprise me to see Smith be the one player on this team that exceeds expectations.
You heard it here first, folks. Ray Kuhn thinks that Dominic Smith is going to be the new Aaron Judge.
It's not. That would be nice. That would certainly change things. But, I mean, he's one of those guys that with your last pick and you're throwing darts, why the heck not?
I mean, the sad thing is if he actually ever became anywhere near half as good as what Aaron Judge was, the Mets would still screw it up. That's the problem.
They would still screw it up. I mean, it goes without saying. If they traded him this winter, then I would say he's going to hit 30 home runs next year, without a doubt. I mean, maybe now I'll say 15. I'll say 20.
All right. Something to look forward to, and hopefully some improvement. What about Struble Cabrera? Is there any fantasy relevance here other than the fact that he's multi-position eligibility and he could hit for a decent average with decent counting stats as a back-end player, or is he basically just a deep league flyer?
Deep league, more valuable in daily leagues because you can move him around and off days, stuff like that. But that's really about it.
Is there any fantasy relevance to Travis d'Arnaud or Brandon Nimmo this year?
Nimmo is going to get the at-bats first month of the season, and then it could turn into a platoon with Ligaris once Conforto comes back. I mean, again, he was a former first-round pick. I think we know that doesn't necessarily mean much. He'll get on base. He'll hit some line drives. There's no real stolen base threat and no real power, so no to Nimmo. D'Arnaud, yes, only because the catching position is so awful. And especially if we do it to ourselves, we have all these two catcher leagues. That's the traditional roto. I mean, again, I get it. I'm a traditionalist. I like the two catcher leagues. But that's always going to have value. D'Arnaud, I'm not even going to say if he stays healthy because we know that won't happen. But, I mean, there's a little something there. There's a little something there with him. He's probably a top 15 catcher, top 15 to 18 catcher. But in reality, you know, maybe, you know, probably stay away. He's not going to batting average. He's going to help it. He's kind of just going to be there.
Do you think there's any chance that they potentially move on from him and sign someone like Jonathan Lucroy for to be able to help this pitching staff out, or do you think that they're kind of just going to stick with d'Arnaud until the end of the season and go from there?
I think they're sticking with him. I mean, we saw they brought Thomas Nito up at the end of the last season. Nito is more of a defender, so again, not much fantasy value. I think he's going to go to AAA to start the season. Pilecki's going to be the backup. So I think they're looking more towards Nito than spending money at the position. I mean, because I think there's too many who would potentially be interested in Lucroy that might price him out of their range. It's not necessarily a bad thought. If it was another team, not the Mets, I would say, yeah, probably do it. But I don't think so.
Fair enough. Why don't we move over to the pitching side of things where you can actually get a little happy to look at some of these players. Outside of DeGrom and Syndergaard, is there anyone that you're looking to roster this year from the pitching side in either the bullpen or in the starting rotation?
Well, I mean, obviously the bullpen Familia because he's a closer and he has the job. But I'm looking at Mats. Again, call me crazy. It seems like over the last 2-3 years, the guy's been made of porcelain. But he did have a 3.40 ERA in 2016. Granted, he almost doubled it last year with 6.08 ERA. So if you're looking at last year, if you're sorting by last year's stats, guy's not going to show up in anything. But if he is healthy, I mean, we know the Mets medical system, their training staff isn't exactly the best. It's possible that whatever the surgery that he had, it's possible it was something that was bothering him that wasn't coming up on exams. Maybe they caught it. Maybe he's refreshed. Maybe he's better psychologically. Maybe we see him pitch like a first-round pick, coming in with no pressure, fully healthy. Maybe the surgery does something for him. Harvey, it's so hard with Harvey. It really is. Because there's really nothing in the last 2 years. Watching Harvey pitch, looking at his metrics, that makes me want to draft the guy. I mean, we go back to 2013. He was the Dark Knight. City Field was packed whenever he pitched. It was appointment viewing. I get that. It's not that long ago. But he's not the same pitcher. And I'm not sure that mentally he's adjusted to the fact that he's not the same pitcher either.
Yeah, I don't think he's been able to adjust. I think that his psyche is kind of broken, unfortunately. Maybe Callaway is able to kind of resurrect him in some capacity as a fourth guy. Maybe he could be decent, you know, and have some minor fantasy relevance, but I'm not sure if I'm going to see much. With Steven Matz, do you think that the fact that he discarded some of his pitching or pitches that were messing up with his shoulder and his elbow were the entire result of his bad ERA, or do you think it was because of injury or a combination of both?
I think it was just a combination of everything. I think it was in his head. I was never the biggest Dan Worthen fan. I think it was the pitches. I think it was the injuries. So I'm thinking maybe it's going to be this surgery, new pitching coach, new manager, it's all a clean slate, is what I'm thinking with. I mean, again, I'm not taking any position where I'm going to have to count on him on a week-in-week-out basis to start, but he's one of those guys that's draft later that has more upside than taking like an Ian Kennedy or somebody like that.
Do you have any interest in Zach Wheeler, Seth Lugo, or Robert Gieselman this year?
No to Gieselman. I think we saw the best that we're going to see out of Gieselman, and he's going to end up being more of that spot starter / long man for this team. Lugo, not really. I mean, the elbow still worries me. We know about the curveball, the spin rate. He's a solid guy, but he's better in real life than in fantasy. Wheeler is going to be interesting what they do with him. Whether, because, I mean, you have Syndergaard, you have DeGrom, you have Harvey Matz we touched on. Yeah, so the thing with Lugo is you have him as your fifth starter. That leaves Wheeler. When I did the team preview for the Mets, I left Wheeler off of the preview. So that means he's going to start the season in AAA. I think the Mets have shown that they're going to be a little more careful with Wheeler than they're going to be with anybody else. To me, the right play with Wheeler is to start him off in AAA, let him build up his stamina, take him through spring training slow because he's ultimately going to be a guy you need. And you want to at least keep him stretched out for the first month of the season. Get through that first month of the season, see where Lugo's at, see where Harvey's at, see where Matz is at. Hope nobody gets hurt, but I think ultimately Wheeler could turn into that Chris Devinsky type of pitcher where he comes in and gives you two or three innings twice a week in the bullpen. That might be better for him. With his elbow and all his health issues, I'm not sure he's ever going to be the type of guy that can go back-to-back or 2 out of 3 days or something like that. Whether that's fantasy relevant, most likely it's not. But it's kind of one of those guys you keep an eye on, see what they're doing with. But for now, I'm not expecting anything out of him from a fantasy standpoint to start the season.
Do you agree with the Mets stating that Syndergaard and DeGrom can go as long as they want, but everyone else they basically want out after 5 or 6 innings every single game, regardless of how they're doing, and they're going to try to make it a bullpen team? Or do you think that that's just absolute nonsense?
Well, if you want to make it a bullpen team, then you kind of have to get a bullpen beyond 3 or 4 guys. I mean, we don't want to see the same thing that happened last year, where we see Paul Sewald parade in every day. He does good for 2 weeks, then you burn him out. We're not looking to see Paul Sewald or Josh Smoker or any of these guys in the 6th inning. I'll take my chance with Harvey or Metz getting through the lineup for a third time. You don't want to have, if you want to say, okay, fine, this is good, general rule of thumb, then yeah, sure, maybe. But it can't be one of these absolutes, this is what we're going to do. And if you're going to do it, you got to get another reliever or two. But if they are serious about doing it, then that could be potentially where Wheeler comes in, because Wheeler can give them length and maybe go 6-7 and bridge the gap from Harvey up to Ramos or Swarzak or one of those guys. It's a familiar.
What size league would you need to be in for you to consider adding A.J. Ramos or Anthony Swarzak onto the team?
Well, if it's a league that counts holds, I have Swarzak ahead of Ramos. And probably in a 12-team league, I'd take a hard look at Swarzak.
Okay.
For the holds, the fact that he's going to get a lot of work. struck out, I think, 20 more batters than innings pitched last year.
Roughly, he had, he had 91 strikeouts to 77 in a third inning.
Okay, so 15, whatever, kind of the same idea. He redid the motion with Callaway 2 years ago. He throws harder. He seems like he's taking to the bullpen. In a holds league, yeah, I'm going after him. Ramos, 15-team league, potentially based on if he gets a stray save here or there. But he's one of those guys that until we see how the bullpen actually shakes out, he's going to have to maybe stay a little closer on your radar. The problem with Ramos, though, is that he's shown that when he's not closing, the guy's just terrible. He comes in, can't find the plate, controls all over the place. So I'm not sure if it's in his head or what the situation is. If he goes into the year maybe knowing he's going to be an eighth inning guy, do better from the outset. But I think Swarzak potentially has more value than Ramos.
Fair enough. And let's talk about the two most valuable players on this team, and that's going to be Noah Syndergaard and Jacob deGrom. Yeah. How do you view both of these guys coming into this year?
I mean, I want to view them as favorably as I possibly can. Syndergaard, it was, I think, a good sign that he came back. He hit 100. He had his little cup of coffee at the end of the season. So he goes into the offseason as it being an offseason and not being a rehab, that he proved to himself he can get out there on a major league mound. We have to keep the health issues in the back of our mind with him, but he's simply too good of a pitcher to have him be on the draft board after the third or the fourth round. He's simply too good. Gets the strikeouts, limits the base runners. I mean, we've seen what the guy can do when he's healthy, and someone's going to pay the price for him. There's a little more risk involved with him than maybe a Corey Kluber or somebody like that. But, I mean, again, you had Madison Bumgarner fall off a dirt bike last year, so you really never know. And to me, DeGrom is Mr. Dependable. 239 strikeouts in 201 innings last year. He pitches deep into the game. It's not going to be look as nice as Syndergaard, but the guy gets the job done.
Would you like to see the Mets sign any of the free agent starters that could have some value as a back-end guy for any reason, or even some of the bullpen people like an Addison Reed and bring him back, or anything of that nature? Or is there no one that really sets your fancy?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I think somebody like an Addison Reed would be huge for this team, because then you're pushing somebody like if you want to keep Smoker around just because you can say, hey, we have two guys that have a left arm in our bullpen, knock yourself out. But you can push somebody like Smoker or Seawald down to AAA and then have them be the first guy up instead of somebody goes down and you need an auto and it's like roulette and you have no idea who's coming up. So I think somebody like Reed would also be good. Then you have three guys with closing experience. You have three guys for the 7th, 8th, 9th inning, and it goes more along with their plan of taking guys out after the 5th or the 6th inning before they face batting orders for a third time. So it kind of shortens the game, and you only have 6 innings to worry about. And again, the same thing with one of those back-end starters. They push Lugo to the bullpen, or you push Lugo to AAA, or you push Gesellman down to AAA, and you build up a little bit of reserve. But, I mean, we know it's not going to take 5 starting pitchers to get through a season. You're going to need 6, 7, 8, 9 starting pitchers. They've proven that. And and it would be, I think, better for this team to have somebody like Lugo or Gesellman come up as opposed to somebody like Chris Flexen or them signing Tommy Malone on the street like they did last year.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping that they add at least one veteran arm. You know, I don't care if it's like a Jason Vargas or a Lance Lynn or someone like that. Someone that, you know, you may have to spend some money on, but you could get a 1-year deal out of them and maybe look to flip them during the year. Or get someone like an Addison Reed or Sung Wong Oh, someone who can come in and be a bullpen arm, someone who has some closing experience, someone you can use in, if you want to make it a bullpen team, someone that you can bring in the 6th inning and have a 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th guy that you can all use. And you can use them interchangeably because they all have closing experience. They all have setup experience. It's nice to be able to have something of that nature. And I don't think the Mets will do it. I think that their biggest signing of the offseason is going to be Swarzak, and that's going to be the end of it. But there are a bunch of free agents out there. and there's still a bunch of free agent that are hitters, too. You know, there's just a lot of players that can that they could bring in, that they could use, but we all know that the Mets probably won't. I think that Jason Bay signing a couple years ago kind of made them not want to do it. They already haven't seen everything they've wanted to with the Yoenis Cespedes signing, so it's a little bit tough for them, I think, because they just don't like being a big market team in a big market, and it makes it tough.
Yeah, I'm not saying that they're going to go out. They need to go out and sign Hosmer and sign J.D. Martinez and sign Jake Arrieta and go crazy. But, I mean, at least put together a bench. Put together a deep group of options that if the starting pitchers truly stay healthy and truly do well, that you have at least solid, competent major league hitters behind them instead of Phillip Evans and Matt Reynolds. I mean, those guys are interchangeably not very fantasy relevant as they combine their names. Like, have somebody like Logan Morrison on the bench instead.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing them bring in a Logan Morrison or a Mark Reynolds or, you know, an Eduardo Nunez who has some speed and average and can play multiple positions. I wouldn't have any issues with any of that. It would be nice to see them make some type of move. It would be nice to see them sign some of those free agent pitchers, but we all know that they most likely won't.
Exactly. That's the Mets' why.
All right, Ray, why don't you tell our listeners where you can be reached and what you're working on?
All righty. Find me on Twitter, maybe for the new year. Keep on saying this. I'm gonna be more active on Twitter. It's Ray_Kuhn_28 on Twitter. On Friends with Fantasy Benefits. For now, it's baseball season. Getting you ready for the baseball season. I also do a bunch of writing over at Road Professor. Obviously, it's not football season, so it's baseball. Again, football really never sleeps anyway, so we'll be back doing that soon enough. But for now, it's baseball season.
And be on the lookout for Ray's Mets team preview article that will be coming out sometime within the next few weeks. I can be reached at BBrandsFWFB. I will be doing a bunch of team previews this year. I'm also going to be doing a couple of head-to-head draft articles and a couple of the position articles, mostly third base and shortstop. You can hear me and Ray on a couple other podcasts as the previews go on, and I look forward to getting to talk to you again at that time, Ray.
Yeah, definitely. It's going to be fun.
So, from the rest of us at Friends with Fantasy Benefits, good luck this upcoming baseball year, and good luck with your drafts, everyone.
Yep, good luck.